This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any, and neither can your spouse or partner.
Well, longtime listeners may remember, I kind of hope they don't because the episode is terrible. Longtime listeners may remember that back in 2011, episode number 32 of this show was called Spouseless Eating.
Yes.
And it was about what we eat when our spouses aren't around. So that was episode number 32. Today is episode number 410.
Yes.
And we are revisiting spouseless eating because, hey, I'm getting a new spouse.
Yes. And every time a host of the show gets a new spouse, we have to record a new version of this episode. It's the law.
I think it's part of our, is it bylaws?
It's part of our corporate bylaws that we adopted at the annual meeting of the shareholders.
Yeah. Was that the one we did in Oklahoma City last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so this is Spouseless Eating 2. Gosh, Matthew, do you think there'll be a Spouseless Eating 3? And which one of us is going to be getting a new spouse?
Oh, that's a good question. So is
You've
it more
8 years to sort
is
it out.
More likely to be you because you change out spouses more often historically, or is it more likely to be me because, like, my marriage has been going for like 24 years?
God, Matthew, I got to say, I mean, I always...
this is depressing rather than funny, isn't it?
I always try to wish, you know, well for my friend, wish good upon my friends, wish...
You wish good.
I wish good upon my friends. But you know what, Matthew? I don't really want to get another spouse again.
I know.
So I'm going to make you do it this time.
Okay. So, who do you think I should marry?
Oh, can you get back to me on that?
Okay.
Maybe we can revisit it at the end of the episode. Okay. Anyway, so let's go down memory lane back to Spouseless Eating 1. What were our memories of that episode?
Okay, so both of us re-listened to that episode, which, again, we do not recommend that you do. So are we just talking about memories of that episode?
Yeah, well, okay. My impression of that episode was we both sounded really calm.
We sounded like we had been, like, we were nervous about doing the episode and were prescribed a mild sedative.
Exactly. My voice sounded so light and careful. Like, there was something about it where I sounded so...
Well, it was before we got hired to be
ourselves.
Morning radio drive time DJs. Like...
We did?
With like, terrible nicknames.
Yeah.
And, like, just, like, keeping you awake during the morning commute with offensive jokes.
Speaking of which, we did have a funny line in that episode.
We did?
That I remembered.
I didn't know we did funny lines back then.
So the line was, we were talking about pizza bagels.
Right.
And I said the phrase, hot ooze coming through the bagel hole.
Yes, and you also used the term bagelature.
I did?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember that part. I think I was, as I heard this yesterday, as I was re-listening, maybe I was furiously taking notes of the hot ooze coming through the bagel hole, and I missed the bagelature.
Well, it was all great. That's the 6 seconds of that episode you should listen to. So what did we learn about ourselves and our spouseless eating habits back then? Like I know I ate Stouffer's French bread pizzas and
yeah. I think that you're so if anything well, hold on. I wanna
hot
talk
pockets.
I wanna talk about this a little later in the show okay. when we talk about spouseless eating today and how it's maybe changed since then.
Right. Okay.
Or do you want to do that
now? Like how spouseless eating has changed like over the centuries?
Over the centuries. So people used to eat mutton stew.
It was during the mostly mutton era.
was that the Middle Ages?
Yeah.
The Middle Ages is synonymous with the mutton era, mostly mutton.
The mostly mutton era.
Mostly mutton Middle Ages.
But they spiced it up
with
cloves and cinnamon and like just by the cup.
Okay.
It was great.
It was great. Now, what do you think people ate when they were eating alone in the Middle Ages?
Porridge? Mush?
Yeah. What? I mean, what?
Sure. Bread?
I think we probably have some food historians.
Oh, I know we do.
Like, who listen to the show.
Listener Ken Albala.
I wish we had... Oh, hi, Ken Albala.
I've
seen your name recently on Instagram. We appreciate your support. I feel like this is something we should have asked some of our more well-educated listeners.
Well, but we did ask our listeners something that they know a lot about, which is what they eat when their own spouse isn't around.
Great, let's hear about
it. Okay, so I put the question out on Facebook to our listeners, what do you eat when your spouse or partner isn't around? This was not meant to make single people feel left out, and indeed many single people weighed in say, like, I'm spouseless 100% of the time, and here's what I like to eat,
yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I'll just read off some of them. I wrote down a bunch. People responded, I would say, in droves, throngs.
I think that, so I love that people responded in droves to this because I think that there's something about eating by yourself that, I don't know, at least for some people, it feels like just hashtag self-care.
Right, absolutely.
So I think that people feel really strongly about it, and I love that.
Are we going to answer the age-old question on this show, spouseless eating, is it cheating?
Well, maybe.
Okay.
Wait, but hold on. We should also, I want to remind the listeners that back when we did this episode the first time in 2011, Lori pointed out that it seemed like what it meant was that like you were going to get rid of your spouse.
Oh, right. Like, because I put it on the calendar, like, you know, as the name of the episode we were taping, you know, like April 13th, spouseless eating. So you're like that was like the start of a new era.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And okay. Yet your marriage still goes on.
Yeah. Here's the kind of fun, crazy thing we get up to as a couple. Last night we went for a walk through the park and had a long discussion about what's the difference between bumbling and fumbling.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
This is the most you guys thing.
Uh-huh. It was so interesting.
Hold on. Okay. Let me just, I need to get a picture of this.
Okay.
So you went for a walk through the park, just the two of you.
Just the two of us.
What did you do with Iris?
I left them home.
Okay. Just, wow. What
Iris is like 16 years old.
I know, but what is that like to have a kid you can just leave home?
Oh, it's great.
Wow. Okay. So I can look forward with my spouse to a future of walking through the park, talking about the difference between certain words.
Mm-hmm. God, yeah. Like that's if you make it for the long haul.
What else have you guys walked through the park talking about?
I mean, we talk a lot about urbanism and urban design.
God,
that's a big topic. I don't know, like really like exciting, like sexy stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you talk about
we both work in tech support, so we talk about like, you know, what was like an interesting trouble ticket we had today at work.
Do you ever lay down a blanket under a tree and lie on the blanket and make out?
Not recently.
What about in the summer?
Yeah, sure. Let's say that's like a summer project.
We
talk about ducks because we always see like what's the latest with the ducks in the pond right now.
The duckling count.
Yeah, right now
they're latest batch doing.
Oh, the pond is now full of like 87 adult ducks and they're disgusting.
Yeah, okay.
But still interesting.
There's so much poop.
The other day we went by the pond and there was a great blue heron, like a bedraggled looking great blue heron standing in this tiny pond.
Hold on, I think what you mean by bedraggled, I think what you're saying is that it had its breeding plumage.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Oh.
When you see a great blue heron that looks like it is wearing like a mantle of feathers that
I
are
think
like
that
these
might have been
long
it.
And sort of very dramatic feathers from
I mean,
its
it
like,
looked
sort
like
of chest.
Shit.
Oh, really?
I mean, it looked like it had lost a fight.
Oh, well, maybe that was not a breeding great blue heron. Let's see which of our birding
like,
listeners want to weigh
season,
in about this.
Like, I try and put on my best feathers,
well,
plumage.
You know, Matthew, maybe you're just not, you know, maybe the great blue heron is not trying to breed with you. So maybe you haven't adapted.
You're right. Like, that was a very self-centered way of looking at it.
Yeah, that was very anthropocentric.
Yeah. I made the totally unfair assumption that the great blue heron wanted some of this jelly.
No, I think the great blue heron probably looked fantastic to people who are into great blue herons.
Or birds, or other birds
or
who are
birds.
Into birds
or
of the same
me,
species.
Because I'm into great blue
okay,
herons.
Okay, that's fair. Like, okay. I didn't mean to bird shame you.
Okay, thank you.
But then the heron, like, it took off
oh,
and
isn't
flew
that the most dramatic
over
thing?
The art museum, and it was crazy. Like, they seemed too big to fly.
Matthew, when I
They're definitely
was,
too big to fail.
When I was on a writing retreat this past summer trying to finish my book, I was out by myself at this house on Whidbey Island
that
for 10 days.
That book is available for pre-order now. It's called
is.
The Thick Stars. Yeah. It's by Molly Weisenberg. I have read it. It is excellent. You should go. If you like this
Matthew
show.
Matthew has read it like four times.
I've read it many times in many versions, and you should pre-order it from your favorite bookstore or website right now.
Seriously. Hold on. Can we just say, as authors, like how ridiculously, stupidly important pre-orders have become? It's really crazy how the publishing industry has changed. Like the success of a book hinges upon how many pre-orders it gets.
So do it. I mean, you're already a fan of host Molly, and that's the same Molly that wrote this book.
It's also the same Molly that was about to tell you, listener, that so as I was finishing this book, I was staying out at this acquaintance's house, and she had asked me to water her plants. Mm-hmm. And so every morning I would go out and I would water her plants. And there was a great blue heron who clearly was like flying back and forth over the house on a regular basis, going between the water and the forest. More mornings than not, he would fly directly over me as I was out there watering the plants. And I felt so spiritually connected to the universe.
So
it gave me so much peace.
That's amazing. And I totally understand now why you married a great blue heron and that's your new spouse. If a great blue heron poops on you,
it's good luck for sure.
But it's got to be like a lot, right?
I mean, I don't know.
They're very big.
It's probably more than like a songbird.
All right. This was our spouse's eating too.
Wow, God, I'm really sorry. Our listeners have turned off the show by now because they're like, we don't want to hear about Molly's spiritual and sexual experiences with birds.
With a bird and a lot about bird poop and words, how words are different from other words. Let's hear from some listeners. Listener Emily wrote, pretty much just adding extra butter to anything and everything. I get a lot of butter shade from my spouse when cooking for him and the family. But when I'm solo, I really like to live my best life covered in guilt-free butter.
Yes, Emily. Yes. Yes.
I didn't write it down, but listener Caroline weighed in to say that her boyfriend hates peanut butter so much that she can only eat it when he's not in the room.
Wow.
That's
seems intense.
Like a, yeah.
But it is a strong smell.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love peanut butter.
I love peanut butter too. Okay.
You should read some of these too.
Okay. So listener Casey says that she makes dishes with things that he doesn't like. That would be mushrooms, olives, nuts, or zero effort things that he doesn't consider quote unquote meals, like a cheese and cracker plate. I am right there with you. Oh my gosh. I love like bread and cheese and like, I don't know. I would even eat like bread and cheese and carrot sticks for dinner.
Yeah. See, that is a difference between me and my spouse because wife of the show, Lori, could definitely go for that sort of thing. And I love cheese and crackers, but it doesn't feel like a meal to me.
Mm.
Like I have to have something else like a 27-ounce porterhouse steak.
Great. All right.
Listener Deanne says, boxed mac and cheese with lots of peas, since my partner won't eat the boxed mac and does not share my enthusiasm for more peas than necessary.
More peas than necessary. Gosh, I wonder what their discussions are like when they walk in the park. Like,
how many peas are necessary? Like 25?
Per spoonful?
Maybe.
Per portion? Okay. Holly says, I always make spaghetti carbonara when the boys are gone! Exclamation point. It's my fave. And
sounds like you're sending a telegram.
It's my fave and they hate it. Holly. I don't know who these boys are.
We're going to assign you some new boys, some carbonara boys.
Carbonara boys. I think that loving carbonara, for me at least, is a prerequisite of a potential spouse.
Like a spaghetti carbonara, like it's one theory is that the name comes from carbonara was not exactly that word, but like the charcoal maker. Hmm. Like it was the spaghetti in the style of the charcoal maker. We're going to send you a boy who is a real Italian charcoal maker, and he makes three things: charcoal, spaghetti, and love.
Wow.
So, okay. Listener Holly, just send us your mailing address.
Okay.
Listener Colby says, once when I was married, my ex-husband was on a business trip for a week, so I made a week of Italian food so I wouldn't have to share. Cacio e pepe.
Oh, yes.
A la matriciana, grilled Neapolitan margherita pizza. It was the best, and I got it all to myself. Might be part of why I'm divorced.
Oh, Colby, yes!
Yes.
Right there with you. You know, when I talk a little bit more in a minute about my own spouseless eating, cacio e pepe is right up there.
Pasta seems to loom large here. Like, wife of the show, Lori, said one of her favorites is a big bowl of buttered egg noodles with salt and pepper, but no Parmesan.
God, yes, yes, no Parmesan.
Yes, if she's doing like a non-egg noodle pasta, then she will do with Parmesan.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Gosh. Watzel Lori. That would be wife of the show, Lori. Go on.
We hyphenated our names. I'm Matthew. And she's Lori. And okay. Sometimes, when we're walking through the park, we'll like swap names, like just half.
So she becomes Lori Matthew and you become Matthew Lori.
I have a true story. When we first moved to Seattle, we could afford one internet account. And so we shared one email address. This was in the 90s.
Wait a minute. You had to pay per email address?
Yeah, like you signed up for a dial-up internet
like AOL.
Account, and it was like $20 a month.
Okay,
and you got one email address with it.
Okay.
So we had one email address, and it was loremath@blarg.net. I think probably if you send an email to that address now, it'll bounce. But maybe someone inherited it.
This sounds like a. If, like, the Muppets made up an email address, this sounds like what it would be.
Can you email
loremath@blarg.com?
Like, what if you send an email just like animal@themuppets.org?
Okay. All right. Listener Jen says, always a peanut butter sandwich and wavy Lay's. I could live on that for the rest of my life. Me too, Jen.
Nice. Listener Aaron says, Totino's party pizza. Ugh, it's so delicious. Or maybe that's like, ugh.
Ugh, it's so delicious. I do notice that listener Aaron called out Totino's party pizza, but not Celeste's pizza for one.
Pizza for one?
Yeah.
I mean, the Totino's party pizza like gets lodged in your teeth less than Celeste, I think.
Yeah. Celeste, one of the main features of it is its gummy stick-to-your-teethedness. Okay, listener Chris says, my beloved bachelor meal of chili dogs accompanied by baby carrots.
That sounds great.
Wow, I love this.
Listener Lynn says, creamed lima beans, but I use edamame instead of lima beans. Mm. Cream, butter, onion flakes, bay leaf, cloves, and nutmeg all simmered together and then poured over the edamame. It's my grandma's recipe and sheer comfort.
Whoa, okay, hold up. Listener Lynn, I wonder if Listener Lynn would be willing to share that like recipe.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
I mean, I think we could probably wing it. But I feel like the onion flakes, you want to get that just right, and the cloves too. I would love, listener Lynn, might you be willing to share that recipe with us?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and we'll, in exchange, we'll send you one of those Italian boys.
Okay. All right. Listener Eleanor says, wait a minute, what is this?
I figured it out yesterday, and then I forgot. I looked at it again, and I said, what is this? And then I figured it out again.
Okay.
So
wait, listener Eleanor says, I have KD and ketchup.
Mm-hmm. Kraft dinner.
Oh, is that Kraft mac and cheese?
Yes, what they call it in Canada. Maybe other parts of the British Commonwealth also?
Okay. So listener Eleanor has Kraft dinner and ketchup. One friend has popcorn and beer. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Popcorn.
Another friend has lobster. And then Eleanor adds, yes, we have talked about this. Who is this friend who has lobster?
I've had lobster as a spouseless meal.
Are you?
I was going to say I'm not Eleanor's friend, but I'm not Eleanor's friend.
I definitely remember when I was single, and I remember
the lobster age,
fairly new to Seattle, and the easy availability of really good fresh seafood was still very surprising to me then. And I do remember there being like a special on Dungeness crab at the grocery store. And I bought myself one Dungeness crab and went home and, you know, ate it by myself.
Nice. Yeah.
Dungeness crab, I think.
Really?
Is it a hard G?
I've never heard that.
Dungeness?
Ever.
Okay. All right. I have no idea. Listeners, please.
It's dungaree crab because it wears little pants.
Oh, my God. It's so cute.
Yes. A lot of people mentioned popcorn. And popcorn rules. Like,
I never think to eat. I love eating popcorn like at the movie theater or whenever anybody puts a bowl of popcorn in front of me. I never think to make it.
I don't make it at home that often. And I don't know why, because every time I do, I'm like, this is great. Like, and we demolish the bowl of popcorn. And homemade popcorn is the best.
Hold on. Back to the lobster, though. Matthew, tell me about your lobster eating.
Wife of the show, Lori, is not a lobster fan. And I haven't cooked a lobster in a very long time. But when teenager of the show, Iris, was little and not a teenager, we made lobster rolls a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I think like when Lori was out, like I would get a lobster at University Seafood and Poultry and bring it home and cook it up and make lobster rolls.
And would you buy it? Would you buy it like living?
Yes.
Okay. Living. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, live is what I meant.
It was living its best life.
And did you plunge it directly in boiling water, or did you like sort of anesthetize it by putting it in the freezer?
I plunged it directly.
Okay. That was what my parents did. There was one time when I was a kid and my dad had a business trip or a conference or something on the East Coast, and he came home with a cooler of live lobsters.
How many?
I don't know. Maybe four of them.
Okay.
I mean, this was Oklahoma in the 80s. So this was like a real delicacy.
Sure.
You could not get live lobster there. And I remember that he let them crawl around on the kitchen floor. And I was terrified by it.
That is exactly a thing that your dad
that
would do.
That a dad would do. Yeah. It's a total dad move.
Yes.
Did you let the lobster crawl around on the floor before you?
No, but I like pulled it out and like, you know, let it
do
brandish its claws.
Do its little, you know, it kind of always reminds me of like playing the spoons.
Yes, totally.
the sound of its little claws.
Or like castanets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Vicky. Yes. All right. Vicky, listener Vicky, has chopped liver on rye.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this reminds me of eating liverwurst.
Yeah.
I don't know
if I've ever had liverwurst.
Really? I'm surprised you haven't. I think it's not something I see all the time in the States. I had it once with a friend in Germany for breakfast, and it was
okay.
Delicious.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I want to have it.
Yeah.
German breakfast. Mm-hmm. Listener Kristen says, my go-to is popcorn and wine, because why not? Yeah, wine came up a lot, too.
Yeah. Okay, this is a listener Molly, not to be confused with host Molly.
Mm-hmm.
Listener Molly says, whatever it is, I eat it over the sink directly out of the container.
Perfect.
Yes. Yes.
Listener Mark says frozen burritos and nasty mini microwave pizzas.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I assume listener Mark means like the Red Baron singles type of pizza.
Are those smaller than Celeste pizza for one?
They're smaller but thicker.
Okay.
I think they're supposed to sort of resemble a pan pizza, but they don't.
Okay.
Speaking of which, we have to do an episode on pan pizza. I've been going crazy for pan pizza lately.
I would love to do an episode on it. Okay, cool. Listener Rupa says, good topic. Thank you, listener Rupa. I am single and my regular dinner is toast and tea. I do different spreads for my toast, PB&J, salted butter only, or raspberry jam only. I love this.
Yeah, this it conjures quite an image, right?
Oh, I love this. I hope that listener Rupa like reads a book while they're eating this. Doesn't
yes.
that just sound right?
Uh-huh.
I love it. Okay.
And finally, I think listener Kelsey, cheese and crackers. When my husband returns from a business trip, he always asks me how many wine and cheese dinners I had while he was gone to gauge how much I enjoyed his absence.
Oh, I love these people. Oh, listener, yes. Kelsey, have me over, please.
Thank you to everyone who answered. Sorry we couldn't mention every single person's answer, but we got a lot of them, and we appreciate that.
Yes, we do. Very, very much.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, take a minute and picture that thing that you've always wanted to learn.
All right, I'm picturing the thing.
Okay.
And you know, what if I get lost in the wilderness?
Well, okay, this is the thing?
This is the thing.
Oh, okay. Well, so picture learning it from someone who's literally the best at getting lost in the wilderness.
No.
In the world.
You don't understand, Molly. I want to get found in the wilderness.
Oh, okay.
So, and for that, I turn to Jesse Krebs, who is an internationally recognized expert on wilderness survival. She has a class on Masterclass, and she teaches like the five basic needs. And if you think number one is water, you're wrong. She teaches you how to use a knife, how to use rope, one of your most important tools in the wilderness. I don't think I'm going to get stuck in the wilderness, but if I do, I'm going to be really happy that I took this class on Masterclass.
Yeah, well, Masterclass is where you should go if you don't just want to think about learning something, but you actually want to do it with one-on-one classes with the world's best.
Yeah, if you want to learn singing from Christina Aguilera, if you want to learn shooting threes from Steph Curry, there's only one place in the world to do those things, unless you happen to know those people, which you don't.
Yeah, you don't. And every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
So, Matthew, what's new in spouseless eating in our families?
Yeah. Okay. So as I mentioned, last time we did this episode, Iris was a baby. And now when wife of the show, Lori, is out, teenager of the show, Iris and I will probably eat something together that involves the three main things that Iris and I love that wife of the show, Lori, does not. And those things are lamb, shrimp, and tofu.
I knew that Lori did not love shrimp. I remember that from Spouseless Eating 1. But I didn't know about the tofu as well.
Did you know about the lamb?
I didn't know about the lamb. I know that Iris loves mapo tofu, right?
Yes.
And so, yeah, it didn't occur to me that maybe that wouldn't be Lori's thing.
Yep. So some things we'll make are skillet pastizia with ground lamb, like crisp breaded fried shrimp or stir fried shrimp, mapo tofu or bear paw tofu.
Ooh,
I know we've mentioned before. Did we do a tofu episode? We must have.
I don't remember it. But then again, I don't remember anything we've ever done on this show.
Bear paw tofu is you take like a firm tofu and you cut it into squares and fry them. And then you stir fry the fried tofu squares in a spicy Szechuanese sauce, like chili bean paste and like a little bit of soy sauce and lots of scallions and garlic.
That sounds delicious. Yeah. That sounds fantastic. I'm really impressed by... So the thing that I always notice about you is that you always have what seem like truly complete meals, even when it's just you eating.
Not always when it's just me eating. When it's like me and my kid, I'll like go to... I'll make the effort to... Because you know... we all know that if you miss one family meal with your kid, they're going to go down a dark path.
Yes.
Yep. So I got to put in that
irretrievable
effort. I mean... Or my kid already took up clarinet. That's a warning sign.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Your kid is already sewing their own Halloween costume. Things are really messed up for your kid.
That is Halloween. That's a touch of evil.
Actually, so I should add that. So Ash and I came over recently to help teenager of the show Iris with their Halloween costume, and Matthew had made mapo tofu, and we sat and ate it with you guys, and wife of the show Lori was not home.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we had a spouseless eating
art
moment.
Art imitates life.
Right?
No, life imitates art. This show is art.
Great.
Oh,
Oh, what is that, Matthew?
It's our Stouffer's French bread pizza, like we had last time.
So when we did this episode 8 years ago, and I listened to it again yesterday, I was reminded that what we had was Stouffer's French bread pizza. We ate it while we were recording the episode because Matthew, at least at that time, often ate Stouffer's French bread pizza when he was spouseless. What about when you are spouseless but childed? Childful.
Wait, isn't that what we were just talking about?
Well, but do you ever do? Well, I know, but you didn't list Stouffer's French bread pizza in things that you and Iris eat together.
So like for a lunch. Okay, so if I'm having lunch alone, like lately my go-to thing is Trader Joe's frozen Indian meals.
Okay.
And particularly the fiery chicken curry, which teenager of the show Iris also takes in their thermos often.
Nice.
And the lamb vindaloo is really good. The chana masala is very good.
And are these microwave or are these
They're
oven?
Microwave.
Okay. I've never thought to buy like a microwave meal from Trader Joe's.
Oh, the Trader Joe's frozen Indian food is really good.
Cool. Okay. Well, I actually
the fish
have to,
curry is good. They're all quite tasty.
I have to go to Trader Joe's today, actually. So maybe I'll pick some up.
But like for lunch, solo lunch and family lunch, like I usually either leftovers or like mac and cheese or hot dogs or something like that.
And if you're doing mac and cheese, is it box mac and cheese?
Yeah. And you know what? Okay. Here's my, should this be an embarrassing admission? I don't think so. Like we recently switched back from the Annie's mac and cheese to Kraft because I like the Kraft better.
Yeah. Okay. So we always have Annie's mac and cheese in our pantry. Ash makes it more often than I do. Ash and June will eat it often when it's just the two of them. Although I like it too. But I do think that it's got this chalky quality to it that Kraft doesn't.
Right. The only thing about the Kraft is like it says, I don't know how many minutes it says to boil it on the box, but you have to subtract like 3.5 minutes from that.
Really?
If you don't want it to be like mush. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good to know.
I will roast a poblano chili and throw that into the mac and cheese, but I don't usually do that by myself. It feels like too much work.
Do you remember we did a mac and cheese episode, I think.
Yeah, we did a failed one and then we did it again.
And you bought something, you bought a box of mac and cheese that had like green chilies.
Right.
And
it was pretty good. I haven't bought it since.
What brand was it again?
I think it was Velveeta.
Okay. All right. How about my spouse listening?
That was weird. I just burped and the burp tasted like Stouffer's French bread pizza, but I haven't actually eaten any yet. So I think maybe I ate a ghost of a pizza.
Wow.
I think I'd had some pizza last night.
Anyway, okay. So the last time we did this show, I had no child. And I was married to Brandon. Back then, what I said was that I liked to do things like roast whatever vegetables were in the house and put like a fried egg on top.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about how I would pour myself a glass of wine and that I would only pour myself one glass of wine because I usually had like some work to do in the evening and I was a real lightweight. And then apparently I would like leave the rest of the bottle on the counter and like not revisit it. And eventually it would just like turn to vinegar.
Yeah, you were.
This is not my problem anymore.
Were you like 29 when we started the show?
Yeah. And I was
31, something like that.
When I said that, I would have been like 33.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then there's no excuse.
There's no excuse.
That's a thing you can do in your 20s.
I think that so my tolerance has finally improved.
Okay.
My tolerance has finally improved. I am more like solidly a 1 to 2 glasses of wine kind of person. And I don't even know.
So
the
it's
last...
gone up from 1 to 1 to 2.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I feel like somehow, you know, whenever you go to the doctor and they ask you to fill out a form that says like how many alcoholic beverages you have each week. If I actually circled 2 glasses of wine per day, they count that as like heavy drinking at the doctor's office.
And that
makes me feel really bad about myself. And
sure.
So I have a very hard time admitting that, yes, I usually do have 2 glasses of wine in an evening.
That seems fine.
Anyway.
I always circle like the 1 to 2 per week. And then I always figure they'll think I'm lying, but
you're
I'm not.
Yeah. So yeah, my spouseless eating has changed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have a child. I'm no longer married to Brandon, and I'm actually soon to marry my partner, Ash.
Okay, so by the time people hear this, will you be married yet?
I won't.
Not quite yet.
No, I won't be married yet. Anyway,
but it sounds like the biggest difference is you're drinking more wine.
I do think I am drinking more wine. I don't, somehow I feel bad about this. Like, I really, I think that, like, no, I don't want to make this serious. I was going to say that I recently read an article about, like there being a lot of cultural memes sort of glorifying drinking among parents.
Sure.
And it makes me really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, I would say that my life is more stressful than it was then. And I do accordingly find myself, like, drinking a glass of wine more.
Yeah, I hear you. I think on the last episode, I recommended that you check out boxed wine. And I do keep a box of red and a box of white in the fridge at all times, mostly for cooking.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine for cooking. And actually, there are a lot of really tasty boxed wines out there these days.
Yeah, the, like, wine formats have exploded.
Yeah,
like, you can get exploding wine.
Anyway, okay. So Ash is... In many ways, Ash is a very game eater, but Ash, I would say, is a bit on the picky side. Ash does not like fruit, almost any kind of fruit.
You've mentioned this.
Anyway, so when Ash isn't around, June and I do this anyway, and Ash just doesn't eat any, but June and I really love to bake, and I love to bake fruit desserts.
Okay.
So I find that that's something June and I will do together, like, when Ash isn't home yet or whatever. But basically, June and I eat a lot of beans and greens, which is what we call, like, braised escarole or chard with usually chickpeas. For some reason, this is, like, June's favorite meal. I do not understand.
Sure.
Anyway, we do a lot of that also because it's very cheap. When no one else is around, when it's just me, I have a real love for white sandwich bread, untoasted.
Okay? Right.
Like a thick slice of white sandwich bread spread with, like, Jif natural peanut butter.
This is one of Wife of the Show Lori's favorites, too.
It's quite sweet, you know? I mean, like, untoasted grocery store white bread is quite sweet and spongy. And I love, like, the texture and the sweetness and the saltiness of that with, like, commercial peanut butter on it.
I love the same, but I gotta go toasted.
You gotta go toasted?
Other than that, I love it exactly.
It's a different thing toasted. I also love it toasted, but it's different. Yeah. So I will eat... I would eat, like, two slices of that with, like, some carrot sticks for dinner. And, like, that is so delicious.
I feel like I go through phases of, like, which is my favorite white sandwich bread to buy. Because, like, for a while, we were both really into Franz Butter White.
Yep.
And then I think they discontinued it. And then there was one that was kind of like it. And then I got onto Franz Home Style White. And lately, wow, it just hit me how boring this is.
This is so boring. no, but lately I have the Franz Naked White, which is also what I am when I'm wearing no clothes.
Exactly. I've seen it. It's true.
And listeners who have not, was that a bonus episode?
It was a bonus episode, but, you know, we've talked about it endlessly.
Pretty much everybody feels like they've been there.
The one I've been getting lately is the Private Selection potato bread. Quite tasty.
Nice. Okay, great. All right. Anyway, so white bread with peanut butter, toasted or not, and carrot sticks. I also am a huge leftovers fan. Mm-hmm. I love leftovers. So the first thing I would always choose is whatever is leftover.
Yeah, me too. As long as it's something that I can heat up. Like, I know a lot of people like cold leftovers,
yeah,
and
I don't like cold leftovers. You know, so back to that writing retreat I went on to Whidbey. I was by myself. And I went to this house a couple of different stays earlier this year. I found on my first stay that I just did not want to cook. Like, I was working really hard and I did not want to be cooking. No surprise there. So on my next stay, I, like, nailed the food that I took with me.
Okay, let's hear it.
Here's the deal. So I made cacio e pepe. Shout out to, who was that? The listener who makes Italian food and is now divorced. Shout out to listener Colby.
Yep.
Italian food does not lead to divorce, just for the record. Anyway, so I would make cacio e pepe, like, on my first day out there, and it would get me through 4 to 5 meals, one batch of cacio e pepe.
And, like, that type of, like, cheese and pasta water based Roman pasta reheats so well.
It gets
right?
a little more oily when it reheats, but I don't care. Like, it's still delicious. My favorite cacio e pepe recipe at the moment is Jessica Badalana's recipe from her wonderful book Repertoire. So I would make a batch of that. That would usually get me through four meals. And then I was there in the summer, so I did a lot of tomatoes and mozzarella.
By the way, I read that book, Repertoire, which is a great cookbook, and I noticed you were mentioned in one of the head notes, and I'm like, okay, now I see how this works.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to get me to mention your book, mention me in your head notes. No, I didn't know until I opened up that book.
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, it was a fun surprise. In the summer, I think that a great solo meal is just tomatoes and mozzarella. So easy, and whatever bread is around.
By the way, I appear in Molly's new book, The Fixed Stars, which you can pre-order now. I appear as a character known for giving bad advice.
No, you gave good advice.
But also bad.
I also conflated you with my therapist
in
the
great.
Book.
Right. The part where I gave good advice, you gave me a different name.
Yeah, I did. I gave you a different name. Yeah. Anyway, there's a disclaimer at the beginning of the book that tells readers that, yes, this is a memoir, but I have like conflated some characters intentionally. Mm-hmm. Certain people are anonymous. Certain people are given
words.
But
you know what you did.
You know what you did. Anyway, the other thing is I love jalapeno flavored potato chips.
Yes. I love jalapeno flavored anything.
I particularly love jalapeno kettle chips, though, as we have discussed, there are so few per bag of kettle chips. Anyway, I love jalapeno kettle chips and either a glass of white wine or like I had it with a Manhattan once. I made myself a Manhattan.
Oh, that sounds great.
And like jalapeno potato chips and a Manhattan as like the beginning of a solo meal. I was
the beginning. I thought that was going to be the whole thing.
I was living my best life. I think after that, I had leftover cacio e pepe.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't so much roast vegetables and put an egg on top anymore. That gets two pans dirty, and I just can't.
Right.
I can't deal with that.
Yeah, I need to like up my fried egg game because I'm good at making fried eggs, but I need to put them on more things.
Mm.
Like you know, like yeah.
Here's another thing I observe about the differences between our spousal seating.
Mm-hmm.
When I am spouseless, I am almost always vegetarian.
Interesting.
And I think it's because when I cook meat, and I would be curious to see if any listeners have this happen too. When I cook meat, I'm not at all grossed out by it, very comfortable handling it. However, by the time I have cooked it, I'm over it and I don't want to eat it.
Interesting.
No matter what it is, like even something like super fast and easy, like a flank steak. By the time it's cooked, I'm kind of like, eh, whatever, I don't care.
I will sometimes, if we made like a mapo tofu and there's some leftover ground beef in the fridge, I will sometimes make myself like a little like smashed patty burger for lunch. That is a real treat.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
And I would never think to do that.
I it only occurred to me sometime fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
And like I don't do it very often, but when I do, it's very satisfying.
Do you put a slice of American cheese on
yes.
top? Oh, God, yes. Okay. Wow, Matthew, I feel that we have only become more ourselves over time.
Yeah, that's really true. And if you want to find a lot more about Molly's self, you should pre-order the book.
Matthew, stop it.
I'm serious. You're right. At some point, I'm going to like go too far and people will like cancel their pre-orders.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really serious. It's a great book and it's coming out soon and you should all read it.
Thank you, Matthew. I'm really enjoying the Stouffer's French bread pizza.
Yeah, it's really good, huh?
Anyway, Matthew, I've been thinking about who else you should marry.
Oh, okay. Oh, great.
I still haven't figured it out.
Okay, because
but I've been thinking.
Here's the like, and this person might be already married, but like it's okay. Like things change. Because a while ago we had a conversation. I think it was on this show about celebrity crushes, and like I could not come up with a celebrity crush, and then like we like worked together on it and decided that my celebrity crush was Nigella Lawson.
Yeah, so, that was a long time ago.
Right. So, but anyway, that's who I'll marry.
Okay, great, great. Okay, who was my celebrity crush?
I don't know. It was like old Paul Newman. Old, young Paul Newman.
I do remember talking once about one of those old photos of Paul Newman. Mm-hmm. But you know who I have always like really had a thing for? Joaquin Phoenix, circa Walk the Line.
Okay.
Joaquin Phoenix as Johnny Cash is like so right up my alley.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah, who else is my celebrity crushing on lately? Have you ever watched Terrace House?
No.
One of the commentators on Terrace House I'm super into.
Okay. Cool. I'm trying to think if there are any...
I bet a lot of our listeners have watched Terrace House.
I'm trying to think if there are any female or non-binary celebrities who I'm into. Mm-hmm. Have you heard me mention any?
Not that I've recently.
Yeah, I'll have to think about it.
Wow, as usual.
This show is riveting.
Our celebrity crush segment is just packed with salacious observations.
Huh. Let's see here. What do I think?
Okay, I'll take us out while you think about that, okay?
Okay.
You can find us online at SpilledMilkPodcast.com and Facebook.com/SpilledMilkPodcast. Oh, we will post, it's already on our Facebook page, obviously, but we'll post at SpilledMilkPodcast.com a link to the Facebook thread where listeners were talking about what they eat spouselessly. Mm-hmm. Our producer is Abby Circatella. You can find us on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. Please rate and review the show. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
I thought of somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
But nobody's going to know what this is. So there was this British movie.
Yeah, whereas when I was talking about Terrace House, everyone was on board with that.
There's this British movie called Weekend. And it is
it's a sequel to The Cement Garden.
It's a gay movie about two men who like spend a weekend together. And one of them, I think in the movie, his name is Russell. He's a British actor. I think he's straight in real life. Another movie where like straight people are playing gay people.
Sure.
It happens all the time. Anyway, but this guy is so beautiful. I wish I could remember his name. But if any of you out there know the one I'm talking about, the super tender, hot, beautiful gay movie Weekend. The bearded guy, the main character. Yeah, great. Okay.
Main character of this show.
Yes. All right.
Pretty tender.
Yeah. And I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Bearden.
The actor's name is Tom Cullen, and he's a Welsh actor.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, check him out. Oh, he is really beautiful. Oh, you want to see him?
Yes.
Oh, here he is.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a great picture of him, but oh, my God. Especially watching him make out with another man. It's totally up my alley. I'm into it. Okay. Bye.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.